listening to Cross the Border. That's the name of this program. And what we're doing here is going through the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And of course, I get to comment on it because I'm doing the program. And plus, I get to go off on any so-called rabbit trails or any wanderings that the Holy Spirit may lead me down, or perhaps I feel led to because of a scripture verse or whatever may arise. So that's what we got going on here. We'll get through every chapter and every verse of the Bible. That's my goal anyway, book by book. So we're in the Psalms right now. We're in chapter 21, and I'm going to just pick up there somewhere around verse 8. Verse 7, for the king trusteth in Yahuwah, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. And his right hand, of course, is the Messiah, Yahshua, and he will find out all those that hate him, and because he will judge the nations, he will judge every man. And I say, if you're wise, you'll take your judgment now and start crucifying the deeds of the flesh. That's right. You can have your judgment now, or you can have it later. That's the two plans he has. If you get it over with now and you start judging and crucifying the deeds of the flesh now, putting to death all of those things, judging them or allowing his word to be written in your mind and your heart, his law, so that he can be your God and you can be one of his people, then the judgment process starts now. Another way that Paul put it, he said, judge yourself that no man judge you. So you can start the judgment process now. And here's the benefit to that. The benefit is that the judgment process will end with this mortal life. And because you will have been judged, the other benefit is that his blood will be applied to you to cover all of your sins, all of your errors, and to cover the corruption that you were born with. That's right. And that way, when your mortality, period of mortality ends, and death sees the blood of his Redeemer covering your sins, death will say, I have no claim on him, because death is the wages of sin. But if you've already been judged, and you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, then death has no claim on you, and you will rise from the grave just as he did, and you will go to that first resurrection. Now, for all of you who like the other plan where he judges you, and that's what is being referred to here, is where it says, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. So if you hate God, then you're not going to follow his son. You're not going to allow that process of judgment or repentance and his law to be written in your mind and in your heart so that you can live a life that's pleasing to him. And his blood will not be applied to your sins, so that when you die, you will be guilty and you will pay the price for your own sins. But then you will be raised up one day, and that's called the second resurrection. The scripture says, blessed is he who has part in the first resurrection, because those that don't have part in the first resurrection, and they go to that second resurrection, well, it ain't going to work out too good for them, because we know that all things work for good to those that love God, but all things do not work for good to those that hate him. So it ain't going to work out too well if you hate him. And here it says that thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. And thou shalt make them as a fiery oven in the time of thine anger. Yahuwah, the Lord, shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. And you know what? The fire will devour them, but it will continue to devour them forever. Some people teach the doctrine of annihilationism. When you start getting into doctrines that men teach, you got to look out for the error there, because if it isn't biblical doctrine, sound biblical doctrine, and it's the doctrines of men, then you want to walk away from it. And the doctrine of annihilationism is a comforting doctrine. But for those that want to practice sin, because they just think, oh, well, God's just going to destroy me and it'll be all over with. Well, you know, I see something different when I see torment forever and ever. Because basically what it is, it's an existence where every good thing is removed. And that's a torment. To some, that may be a comforting thought, but they've never lived with no good thing. I don't think anyone's ever lived with no good thing. Even people in the worst circumstances have had some good thing in their life. Can't even imagine a life with no good thing in it, and then imagine that forever, where all you have is bad things, because the absence of good is total evil and total suffering. So the totality of it is just mind-boggling when you think about it. He says, he shall swallow them up in his wrath, and the fire shall devour them. Their fruit shall thou destroy from the earth, whatever they hope to gain, and their seed from among the children of men. And I was reading did a Bible study here on Sunday. We had a little home church on Sunday, and we got up to the part in the Ten Commandments, you know, Exodus chapter 20 there, where he says he visits the iniquity on the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate him. And he was talking about those that hate his commandments. They say, because if you break his commandments, the Bible plainly states that you hate God. That's right. You don't want those things. See, and people who want to nail God's law to the cross, what they really want to do is break the commandments. And if they nail the law to the cross, then they think they can break it and it doesn't matter. But what they're really saying is they hate God, because that's what the Bible says, that they hate him. Yeah, go there, read it. Exodus chapter 20, right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. He says he visits the iniquity on the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate him, those that break his commandments. But he says he has mercy on thousands of them that love him and keep his commandments. That's following there right in the same reference there in Exodus chapter 20. You'll find that right in the middle of the Ten Commandments. And that's kind of hard to ignore. So if you hate his commandments, if you practice breaking his commandments, even under the guise that they were nailed to the cross, you hate God. Well, that's what the scripture says. You hate him. Jesus, Yeshua, said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. It's kind of hard to get around with that one, too. And then you have the scripture that says, whoever calls upon the name of Yahuwah, the Lord, shall be saved. So they hold on to that one. What does it mean to call on his name? Do you call on his name for everything? Should I do this or should I not do that? If you say his law was nailed to the cross, therefore I can do whatever I want, are you really calling on his name? Going, is this okay with you, Father? Does this please you? What does it mean to call on his name? Because you have to balance that statement, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, with this statement that Yeshua made. He said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of the Father who is in heaven. So you got to balance those out. And when you balance those out, you come to the true meaning of what it means to call on him, because you have to balance that out with doing the will of the Father. So you got to take in the whole Word of God. You have to rightly divide the Word of God. And that way you won't get lost or self-deceived or deceived by patronizing preachers who tickle itching ears. Yes, hirelings who are only working, even though they deceive themselves. I'm sure they're all very nice guys and everything. But this, many of them are self-deceived, because actually what they're doing is protecting their salaries, their health plans, health insurance plans, and their retirement funds. That's really what they're working for. They're hirelings because they ignore the Word of God and they teach it falsely. And yes, they seem like nice people. They're nice, self-deceived people. They really, well, kind of believe what they're saying is true, or at least they've ignored the truth long enough that they can't see it anymore, and they've made enough compromises that they believe what they're saying is true, even though it's not, and it's contrary to the word of our Heavenly Father, which He has plainly given us. We're in chapter 21, and verse 4, He asked life of thee, and thou gavest it Him, length of days forever and ever. Yeah, I'm asking for that one. I like that, you know, length of days forever and ever. And I've talked about this before, that He gave us a survival instinct. And that survival instinct, we should take it to the extreme. And that is the extreme is this. I want to live forever. And who's got a plan for me? Well, there's only one out there that has a plan for you to live forever and keep your identity as the man that He created. That's right. All of the other ones that have forever plans, well, you kind of become one with the universe and your home, and you meld into it, and you might come back as a earthworm or a, you know, a frog, and maybe you were an elephant in your former life, or a bug, or, you know, that plan don't work for me. You know, the plan that the world offers, evolution, their plan don't work for me. I don't just want to become recycled matter. I want to live, and I want to live forever. And there's only one that's offered the plan that I can live forever. And not only is He offered a plan whereby I can live forever, but He will perfect me on the journey to my immortality. He will make me a better man, a good man. He will take this man who had his conversation in times past with sinners and evil people, who was trained up by deceivers and the world. He will take me and He will perfect me so that when I step across the threshold of mortality to immortality, I will be a perfect and good man, and I will be worthy of that eternal life that He offers. And He's only offering two plans. The one I just described, that's the one I'm going for. And then there's the other one that He's described. Yes, you can live forever in suffering in hell where there is no good thing, where He will remove every gift that He's given you, and you will just live with the evil that you've created forever and ever and ever. And when I think about the evils in my own life, the evil that I embraced before Christ, and the evils that He's purging me of during this lifelong maturing process where He is perfecting me, when I think of those evils, I think, I am so glad I'm being cleansed. I would hate to live with that evil forever and have every good thing removed. It's a frightening thought. So He has two plans for you. That's right. You can continue on the road to destruction, or you can accept His Messiah, His Redeemer, and have your sins covered by His blood by choosing a life of obedience to Him and learning what is right in His sight. There you have a choice. Chapter 21, verse 5. His glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon Him, for thou hast made Him most blessed forever. Thou hast made Him exceeding glad with thy countenance. For the king trusteth in Yahuwah, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I'm in the same place that David was. He's expressing what I feel. You know, those words, I will not be moved. The salvation that He's given me is a sure thing. I will endure to the end. The other plan, I ain't going for it. You know, there are 100 different plans out there, but there are only 2 that are true. And those are the ones that are laid out in the scripture. The road to destruction or the road to reconstruction, you know, to be reconstructed by him. That's right. And I want to be reconstructed. I want this mortality to put, I want this mortal to put on immortality, not a lifelong or not a eternal decomposition. Deconstruction, because that's the road you're on if you're not on the road that he, the plan that he offers through his Redeemer, through his Messiah. All other roads lead to destruction, and a destruction that is never ending. That's the truth. You can believe in the fantasy of evolution, that you're just going to be recycled dirt, or you can believe in the fantasy of, let's see, what is the other one? I forget, where you come back as something else, what do they call that? I forget what they call that. You all know what I'm talking about. You can also believe in the fantasy that you're going to get to go to heaven because you're a good man. And Jesus certainly wouldn't make you go to hell because you're better than other people. You're not like Jeffrey Dahmer, or you're not like Hitler, or, you know, that's another fantasy. Where people falsely believe that they can continue a life that's not pleasing to our Creator and embrace that life and then believe somehow that God is going to let them into His kingdom, those who hate His law. Remember, it is a kingdom, and every kingdom has laws. And what would you do in a kingdom where you hate the law? So spend the rest of your life learning His law, embracing it, and saying, I only want to do what pleases you. Then you'll know that you're in His kingdom, and you're doing it because you love Him, because you want to please Him, for no other reason. His glory is great in thy salvation, honor and majesty thou hast laid upon Him, for thou hast made Him most blessed forever. Thou hast made Him exceeding glad with thy countenance, for the King trusteth in Yahuwah, and through the mercy of the Most High he shall not be moved. Thine hand shall find out all thine enemies, thy right hand shall find out those that hate thee. Thou shalt make them as a fiery oven. And I forgot to mark my place. That's why I'm reading it over again. But I still love it, even if I am reading it over again. Their fruit thou shalt destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device, which they are not able to perform. Therefore thou shalt make them turn their back, when thou shalt make ready thine arrows upon the strings against the face of them. Be thou exalted, Yahuwah, in thine own strength, so we will sing and praise thy power. Psalm chapter 22 and verse 1, to the chief musician upon, and we'll translate it here, Ado. That's interesting. Aijileth, Ado. And usually it's an instrument. And it says Shehar, and figuratively a day, a light morning, whence riseth. So perhaps the chief musician was out. David was out and he saw a doe, and it was in the morning, in the early morning light. And he was inspired. A Psalm of David. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? And of course, we all recognize that from the words that the Messiah spoke on the cross just before he said it was finished. He was forsaken. He was forsaken of the Father, and he was forsaken for us when he carried our sin, debt, being innocent, having never sinned. He took it all upon himself. For us, for everyone who would call upon his name and choose a life of obedience, for everyone that would endure, that will endure to the end to be saved. He took it all for us. And he took it potentially for everyone on the planet, though he doesn't really bear the sins of those who choose to pay the price for themselves. that much is obvious, because they will pay the price for themselves. And that's unfortunate that most people choose that plan. It's a very sad thing. But he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, the psalmist continues here, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man reproacheth, and no man, I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. This is the psalmist David saying this in his position. And this is David expressing what he feels in the time of his tribulation. And I imagine there are men right now in dungeons or in jail cells in cold, dark solitude who feel these very things. Like David did. There are perhaps millions throughout history who have been in this type of position and could relate with the psalmist here. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name's Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Find an email link there to email me. Why don't you stop by and send me a note? We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.